Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for today, Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B. I had a commitment this morning, so I'm reading for him, and hope you bear with me. So now let's turn to the Sioux City weather for today, Wednesday, October 28th. Today, the high should be 44 with a low of 28. Tomorrow, Thursday, a high of 40, a low of 24. Friday, a high of 49 and a low of 35. Saturday, a high of 51 and a low of 25. And Sunday, a high of 45 and a low of 27. Now let's turn. Oh, here we go. I was looking for the sunrise and sunset. The sun will set today at 6:24 p.m. Tomorrow, Thursday, the sun will rise at 7:56 a.m. and set at 6:22 p.m. This one comes to us from Annie Greiner, spelled G-R-E-I-N-E-R, of Dakota Dune, the Mini. She writes, "Why aren't political TV commercials fact-checked before they are aired?" That's what Annie had to say in her mini editorial today. Now turning to our front page story. It's by Brett Hayworth, and the headline is, "Board Approves County Jail Plans. Work on the facility could start in April." It was a formality and nothing of magnitude changed, as the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday approved the schematic plans for the new county jail that has a 2022 goal for opening. The supervisors voted to approve the design drawings submitted by Goldberg Group Architects, a consulting firm hired for several tasks related to constructing the $50 million new facility. Since a county official said the plans couldn't be shared with the public due to the needs for confidentiality of a detention facility, the more interesting details out of the meeting were that a Goldberg representative shared a firmed-up construction timeline. Final plans are due by February 16, 2021, and bids from interested contractors could be received by March 10th. The construction start date is estimated for April 1st, and if that pans out, the goal is to open the jail in 2 years, in October 2022. Goldberg official Shane Albrecht said. The designs had been approved in an earlier Tuesday meeting of the intergovernmental body leading the jail plan, the Woodbury County Law Enforcement Center Authority. The supervisors, a few hours later, approved the schematic designs on a 5-0 vote after first reviewing them in a one-hour closed meeting due to the need to keep certain portions of the layout from becoming public. County Building Services Department Director Kenny Schmitz said. "We think we have a very good design," Schmitz said. Notable pieces of the layout include not only cells for inmates, but also offices for the county sheriff and attorney, plus 5 courtrooms. Supervisor Keith Radek ran down a checklist of items that county groups and residents had set for necessity in the facility, and he noted all were met. The facility will be built at 3701 28th Street in a 110,000 square foot building that can hold up to 444 inmates, nearly double the roughly 235 inmates that can be housed in the current jail located across the street from the county courthouse. The March special election to set financing through increased property taxes saw voters giving a 57% affirmative vote. The new single-story jail will be built on a 38-acre plot of land in the vicinity near 28th Street, just north of the Lake Forest mobile home community, and the aging jail downtown eventually will be shuttered. County officials had pitched the $50 million project as the most cost-effective long-term option for dealing with an aging jail in need of $22 million in repairs to heating and air conditioning systems. They warned critical systems could fail at any time, which would force the evacuation of the jail and cost millions of dollars to transport and house inmates in other jails around the state. And this article is by Brett Hayworth. Radig faces challenge from McCormick for county supervisor seat. Sioux City. Keith Radig is undefeated in three elections for seats on local governing bodies. But as the Sioux City Republican faces re-election to the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors this year, he faces stiff challenge this fall from a well-known Sioux City Democrat. After serving 7 years on the Sioux City Council, Radig was elected to his first four-year term on the county board in 2016. His Democratic challenger for the first district seat is Kevin McCormick, a former Sioux City police officer who was wounded in the line of duty 8 years ago. Early voting has been underway for weeks, and the election is on November 3rd. While supervisors are elected to represent specifically drawn districts, they are elected through countywide votes. Radig began his aim on elective office nearly two decades ago, unsuccessfully seeking an Iowa House seat in 2002. Later, he won terms on the city council in 2009 and 2013. He stepped down with a year left on his second term after he was elected to the Board of Supervisors. In the 2016 general election, he easily defeated incumbent Democrat Jackie Smith, nabbing 22,576 votes compared to 18,713 for Smith. One thing, with this much time, you learn so much. I've just been who I am and kept my promises, Radig said. He added that after serving on the council and county board, he's learned how to read people, such as when is the time to lead and when to step back. I've made a lot of connections over the years, and I have a lot of knowledge on how to do things, Radig said. McCormick, 42, is a third-generation law enforcement officer. He was a first-year police officer when he was shot in the head on April 29, 2012, during a routine traffic stop in the alley in the 1300 block of West 4th Street. Jamal Dean sprang from the passenger seat of a car during the stop and fired 8 shots at McCormick's squad car, with one hitting McCormick. After an extensive manhunt, Dean was captured. He later pled guilty to a state charge of attempted murder and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. McCormick, who was treated at a local hospital, recovered from his wounds and returned to duty shortly after the shooting. McCormick said he had pondered the next stage of his life after retiring from the police department in November 2019, and he wanted it to be something by which he could help shape the future of the community. As the last year played out, he began thinking of elective office after being enthused by watching the strong embrace of Pete Buttigieg as a moderate Democrat candidate in the presidential race. This community opened up its arms to my family and I when we really needed it, McCormick said. My motivation for running is to give back to the community that has been so good to me. McCormick said he has a good skill set to be a supervisor, citing his integrity and ability to connect with others. I've always been good at building relationships, uniting people. McCormick said two chief issues will be to ensure that, especially during the novel coronavirus pandemic, that county residents know where to contact mental health services, and he wants to expedite a five-year, $10 million plan to place gravel more thickly on county roads. That is a quality of life issue and a safety issue because we are busing our kids on those roads, McCormick said. McCormick pointed to several endorsements, including from Sheriff Dave Drew, who is a Republican, and the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce Good Government Committee. He also cited reaching his goal of raising more than $28,000 this year, as shown in October campaign finance reports. The amount of support that has come from this community, I've got a good crack at this, McCormick said. Radig, who has served as board chairman once over the last 4 years, said he expects to win. I feel very good about it. I get a very positive response when I meet people. He added that McCormick seems to be repeating a lot of the county issues that Radig is also citing, so that shows I'm doing the right thing, he said. Radig said in every election he runs on the goal of reducing property tax levy rates and boosting economic development. Beyond that, for 2020, he said, a big push is to carry out the $10 million gravel road plans amid a lawsuit and to make sure details toward building a $50 million jail are ably carried out by 2022. Next article by Brett Hayworth. Dort will finish college semester in online fashion. I just have to say here, you guys, I just read a book by Alexandre Dumas written in the 19th century. And it's called The Black Tulip. Anyway, I learned from that Dort is a town in Holland. I bet most of you knew that, but I didn't. So it was kind of nice to learn that. Anyway, Sioux Center, Iowa. Dort University will end the final weeks of the fall semester with online courses out of precautions due to community spread of the novel coronavirus, officials announced on Tuesday. A Dort release said the switch from in-person classes is due to expectations that students could return from Thanksgiving break travels after possibly coming into contact with the virus. Most students will not return to campus after Thanksgiving, although some, such as international students or those on athletics teams, can apply for special dormitory or campus housing. The last day of the semester with face-to-face classes will be November 24th, and the switch to online on November 30th. Finals week will take place online from December 8th to the 11th. Leaving campus and traveling over Thanksgiving break increases the likelihood that students and employees will come in contact with COVID-19. With only 2 weeks left in the semester, returning to campus also increases the risk that students will need to quarantine or isolate during one of the busiest, most stressful times in their semester, President Eric Hoekstra said. A summary of COVID-19 details said that when the semester was set up, what was unexpected was the high infection and positivity rates in the local Sioux County community. As of Tuesday, more than 2,450 cases of coronavirus have occurred in Sioux County, placing second highest among Northwest Iowa counties, trailing only Woodbury. For the spring semester, current plans at Dort are to have courses return to in-person format. The first day of classes for the spring semester is January 14th. By late January, Dort officials will announce their plans regarding spring break and Easter. Commencement will be held on May 7th. As we make plans for the spring semester, we will take into account what we learned during the fall. We plan to begin in-person classes this spring semester in a way that provides a safe, fulfilling learning environment for our students, Vice President for Student Success Robert Taylor said. Next article by Nick Hytrek. Judge upholds Sioux City School Board's firing of teacher. Sioux City. A judge has upheld the Sioux City School Board's decision to fire a teacher accused of sending threatening letters to Superintendent Paul Gaussman and other district officials. District Judge Stephen Anderson ruled that evidence and testimony showed Julie Fisher wrote, sent, or knew who sent the anonymous letters, but that her firing was not due to the statements made in them. Rather, the board terminated her for violations of district policy by not cooperating during a subsequent investigation into the letters and providing false or dishonest information during the probe. Based on this factual basis for Fisher's termination made by the board, the court concludes that such termination was not in violation of Fisher's constitutional rights. The board committed no error of law in this regard when it reached the same conclusion, Andreessen wrote in his 45-page ruling. Fisher had argued that the board's August 2019 decision was unlawful, violated her First Amendment right to free speech, and violated board policy. She declined to comment on the decision on Tuesday. She has 30 days from the ruling Sunday filing to appeal Andreessen's decision to the Iowa Supreme Court. I do believe that we will appeal, but a final decision has not been made, said her attorney, David Reinschmidt of Sioux City. Fisher had taught in the district since 1991, most recently as a tag specialist and West Middle School teacher. A frequent critic of Gausman and his administration, she was placed on administrative leave, paid, in August 2018, after being charged with mailing letters anonymously to the superintendent and six other district officials. The letter to Gausman said, "Your time is coming, you lying SOB." Fisher denied writing or sending the letters, and Reinschmidt had said in his petition, appealing her firing, that evidence did not support the district's conclusion that she did. In its written decision, the board said Fisher was not terminated because of the contents of the letters, but because she violated the district's mandatory cooperation and workplace investigation policy and code of ethics by making false statements and providing misleading information during the district's investigation. The board said it believed Fisher either wrote, sent, or knows who sent the letters. The letters were traced to Fisher through barcodes on stamps purchased at Sioux City's post office. Reinschmidt said during a December hearing that Fisher, who also has worked as a real estate agent, did not know what happened to the stamps after she bought them, and that someone could have taken them and used them. Criminal harassment charges were filed against Fisher, were dismissed in Woodbury County after a magistrate ruled the letters were protected by her First Amendment free speech rights. Union County prosecutors in South Dakota later dismissed a stalking charge against Fisher, who was accused of sending harassing letters to a female coworker who lives in southeast South Dakota. Fisher has said she filed a complaint against the district with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission, which cannot comment on the status of ongoing cases. Fisher said Tuesday that she could not speak about the complaint. Here are some news briefs. From Sioux City, Holiday Craft Fair returning to Tyson Center. The annual Collector's Craft Fair returns to the Tyson Event Center, 401 Gordon Drive, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. November 21st and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. November 22nd. Due to COVID-19 concerns, masks are required for all event attendees and vendors. In addition, the two-day event will be broken into two-hour sessions in order to limit crowd size. Tickets are now available in advance at tysoncenter.com. Advance tickets are discounted at $4 online. Patrons are encouraged to buy online early to take advantage of discounted tickets and to guarantee the session they'd like to attend. Tickets will also be available on the day of the event for $5 at the door. Kids age 12 and under are free to attend. Turning now to the graphic that we always have in the paper, which reports on cases and deaths in our area of the coronavirus. In South Dakota, there have been 39,494 cases. In Nebraska, there have been 64,499 cases. Iowa has had 117,826 cases. Here are the county numbers. Our South Dakota counties first. Yankton County has had 801 cases with 5 deaths. Clay County, 801 cases with 8 deaths. Union County, 732 cases with 11 deaths. Cedar County, Nebraska, 198 cases. Dixon County, Nebraska, 178 cases with 2 deaths. Wayne County, Nebraska, 355 cases with 1 death. Thurston County, Nebraska, 379 cases with 4 deaths. Dakota County, Nebraska, 2,594 cases with 46 deaths. Our Iowa counties are as followed. Lyon County, 554 cases with 7 deaths. Osceola County, 288 cases. Dickinson County, 744 cases, 7 deaths. Sioux County, 2,454 cases, 16 deaths. O'Brien, 684 cases, 14 deaths. Clay County, Iowa, 537 cases with 4 deaths. Plymouth County, 1,674 cases with 29 deaths. Cherokee County, 405 cases with 2 deaths. Buena Vista County, 2,264 cases with 12 deaths. Woodbury County, 7,268 cases with 97 deaths. Ida County, 194 cases with 2 deaths. Sac County, 400 cases with 4 deaths. Monona County, 244 cases with 1 death. Crawford County, Iowa, 1,362 cases with 14 deaths. South Dakota medical groups promote masks countering Nome. South Dakota's largest medical organizations on Tuesday launched a joint effort to promote mask wearing to prevent the spread of the coronavirus as the state suffers through one of the nation's worst outbreaks, a move that countered Governor Kristi Noem's position of casting doubt on the efficacy of wearing face coverings in public. As the number of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths from COVID-19 have multiplied in recent weeks, the Republican governor has tried to downplay the severity of the virus, highlighting that most people don't die from COVID-19. Noem, who has staked out a reputation for keeping her state free from federal government mandates to stem the virus's spread, has repeatedly countered the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's recommendations to wear face coverings in public. Shortly after the Department of Health reported that the number of hospitalizations from COVID-19 broke records for the third straight day on Tuesday, people who represent doctors, nurses, hospitals, school administrators, and businesses huddled to promote mask wearing, social distancing, and hand washing. They warned that the state hospitals could face a tipping point in their ability to care for COVID-19 patients. Masking is a simple act that each one of us can participate in, and it can save lives, said Dr. Benjamin Aker, the president of the South Dakota State Medical Association. If you mask, that life could be your mother, father, your friend, or even your own. Noem spokesman Ian Fury said the governor does not oppose all mask wearing, but is trying to promote a nuanced approach to masks. She has said it is appropriate to wear masks around people with symptoms of COVID-19 or in hospitals, but she has not encouraged people to wear face coverings in public, as recommended by the CDC. October has already become the state's deadliest during the pandemic, with 152 people dying. Health officials have tallied 375 total deaths from COVID-19. The groups calling for mask wearing detailed the upheaval caused by virus infections, from school administrators struggling to conduct contact tracing to businesses worried about the economic impacts of widespread outbreaks. The state's prisons have seen the greatest surge in cases in recent weeks. Roughly one out of every three inmates statewide have an active infection. The state has reported the state's second highest numbers of new cases per capita over the last 2 weeks, according to Johns Hopkins researchers. There were 1,226 new cases per 100,000 people, meaning that one in roughly every 82 people tested positive. One in roughly 82 people tested positive. The Department of Health reported 989 new cases on Tuesday. The rise in hospitalizations has forced the state's two largest hospital systems, Sanford Health and Avera Health to alter the logistics of some elective procedures to free up space for the influx of COVID-19 patients. There were 395 people hospitalized by COVID-19 statewide, according to the Department of Health. About 34% of general care hospital beds and 38% of intensive care units statewide remained available on Tuesday. Healthcare providers will hit an unmanageable load of patients if the virus continues to grow, Aker warned, leading to a shortage of medical resources. There's a possibility that we will meet that tipping point, he said. Next article, from our neighbors in Nebraska. Nebraska virus deaths top 600 as hospitalizations stay high. The number of deaths linked to the coronavirus has topped 600 in Nebraska, and the number of people hospitalized with the virus in the state remains near record levels as the recent surge of new cases continues. Nebraska health officials reported 7 new deaths on Monday to give the state 603 deaths linked to COVID-19. The number of virus cases grew by 702 to reach 64,499 since the pandemic began, and the rate of new cases ranked 8th highest in the nation. That's in Nebraska. The state also said 427 people are hospitalized with the virus, which is just below the record of 436 that was set on Saturday. The 36% of the state's intensive care beds and 35% of all the hospital beds remained available across Nebraska, according to the state's online virus tracker. The rate of new cases per 100,000 Nebraska residents over the past 2 weeks increased to 604.37 on Monday, according to an Associated Press analysis of data from Johns Hopkins University. The 7-day rolling average of daily new cases in Nebraska has increased over the past 2 weeks from 653.57 new cases per day on October 12th to 818.43 new cases per day on Monday. We've reached the halfway point now, so I'll let you know that you are listening to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. From Lakewood Ranch, Florida, formerly of Sioux City, Dr. Alan Pechacek. Dr. Alan Pechacek, 78, of Lakewood Ranch, formerly of Sioux City, passed away Sunday, October 18, 2020, in the company of his family. To protect the safety of family and friends during the COVID-19 pandemic, the memorial service or celebration of life will be scheduled at a later date. He was born to parents Edgar Pechacek and Marion Pechacek Schwartz on February 9, 1942, in Sioux City. Alan graduated from Central High School in 1960 and graduated from the University of Iowa School of Medicine in 1967. He was honored for his academic success and inducted into the Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Medical Society while in medical school. He went on to intern at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. From 1968 to 1970, he served 2 years in the U.S. Navy. He returned to Texas in 1970 to complete his residency at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School in Dallas in orthopedic surgery. Alan's passion and commitment to his medical practice in orthopedic surgery spanned 40 years. In 1974, returning from his residency in Dallas to his hometown of Sioux City, he established his own medical practice, where he practiced orthopedics for more than 17 years. While in Sioux City, he was on the board of the Easter Seals and president of the St. Luke's Hospital medical staff. In 1991, Allen relocated with his family to Jackson, Tennessee, where he continued his practice at the Jackson Clinic for 24 years before retiring in the summer of 2015. In 2018, Allen and his wife Nancy moved to Lakewood Ranch. Allen was known for his love of golf, a game he began playing at an early age at the Sioux City Country Club and continued to play throughout his life. He was a simple man known for his quick wit and dry sense of humor. Whether you were family, a lifelong friend, or a patient, Allen had the ability to make people laugh in unexpected ways. He married Nancy Petrichek, his wife of nearly 52 years, on December 21, 1968. Allen was preceded in death by his parents. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that people make donations in support of the Humane Society at Lakewood Ranch, 26920 Gopher Hill Road, Mayaca City, Florida, 34251. Please put Dr. Allen Petrichek on the check or donate online at hslwr.org. From Sioux City, Marjorie L. Beckwith. Marjorie Lorraine Williams Beckwith, age 90, of Sioux City, was called home by our Lord on Monday, October 26, 2020, at Holy Spirit Retirement Home. Services will be 11 a.m. Friday at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church. Burial will be in Memorial Park Cemetery. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, with family present 5 to 7 p.m., and a vigil service at 7 p.m. at Waterbury Funeral Services, Sioux City. Per family request, due to COVID-19, masks will be required. Marge was born on August 27, 1930, in Sheridan, Wyoming, the daughter of William and Goldie Williams. She was raised in Montana on a ranch in the summer and small town in the winter for school. In her heart, Marge was always a Montana girl. Marge was an avid reader. While listening to her music, she enjoyed gardening and watching birds. Later, Marge enjoyed gambling. The closest to her heart was her family, which she loved dearly, and her God. Marge said, "No matter where you look, you see our Lord." From South Sioux City, Elaine M. Strayfeller. Elaine M. Strayfeller of South Sioux City entered into eternal rest at age 81 on Friday, October 23, 2020, surrounded by loved ones in Sioux City. Services will be 10 a.m. Thursday at First Baptist Church in Climbing Hill, Iowa. Burial will be in West Fork Township Cemetery, Climbing Hill. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, with a prayer service at 7 p.m. at Moore and Becker Hunt Funeral Home in South Sioux City. You may watch the prayer service online by visiting youtube.com and look for the Moore and Becker Hunt Funeral Home. The family requests that all who attend the gatherings in person wear face masks. We respectfully ask that no judgment be made over who attends or not, who social distances or not, and who hugs or handshakes or not. Elaine will be born on September 4, 1939, in Breckenridge, Minnesota, to Alfred and Lou Ida Bent Manthe. She grew up in Tenney, Minnesota, where she was active in 4-H and in her church choir. In the summers, she attended church camps, where in third grade she was hiking on a trail, fell and sprained her ankle, necessitating four boys from the camp to carry her back. Elaine graduated from Campbell High School in 1957 and attended Westmar College in Lamar's, Iowa. There she became reacquainted with one of those boys who had carried her at camp, Mal Strayfeller, who would become her husband. She graduated from Westmar with an AA degree and a teaching certificate in 1959 and went on to become a kindergarten teacher in Grand Meadow. Elaine and Malcolm were married on December 27, 1959 in Meadow Star Church. The couple had two daughters. After her marriage, Elaine became a teacher, a substitute teacher, in various towns in the upper Midwest as she followed Mal where his jobs led him. She briefly attended Dakota Wesleyan and then returned to college at Morningside College in 1979, graduating in December 1983, class of 1984 with a library science major. In 1981, Elaine, Mal, and their daughter moved to South Sioux City, where she began her job as a school librarian at South Sioux City Junior High in 1984. Mal passed away in 1990. Elaine worked at the library watching over many children, both related to her and related by heart. She retired from South Sioux City in 2005. Through her years, Elaine was a Girl Scout leader, Sunday school teacher, Bible study leader, piano player at church, a charter member of CHAT for 20 years, and a member of First Baptist Church in Climbing Hill, where she served as the secretary of the church board. In her free time, she enjoyed watching the activities of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, eating out, scrapbooking, crocheting, doing crosswords, and reading. From Papillion, Nebraska, formerly of Sergeant Bluff, Diane H. Liebenthal, age 80, died Sunday, October 25th, 2020, service October 30th at 1 p.m., Community United Methodist Church, Sergeant Bluff, burial, Memorial Park Cemetery, visitation October 30th, noon at the church, Waterbury Funeral Service of Sergeant Bluff. From Sioux City, Marilyn Jean Wallen, age 96, died Monday, October 26, 2020, Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. From Sioux City, Michael J. Carino, age 65, died Saturday, October 24, 2020. Service is not known at this time. Waterbury Funeral Service of Sergeant Bluff. From Claghorn, Iowa, Bernice McIntosh. Bernice McIntosh, age 98, longtime resident of Claghorn, passed away Friday, October 23rd at Heartland Care Center in Marcus, Iowa. Memorial services will be 2 p.m. Friday at First Presbyterian Church in Claghorn. Visitation will be 2 to 7 p.m. Thursday, with the family present 4 to 7 p.m. at Boothby Funeral Home in Cherokee, Iowa. Please practice social distancing. Masks are requested. Ellen Bernice McIntosh, the daughter of Emery and Mary Zimbish Goodrich, was born on August 31, 1922, in Claghorn. She graduated from Claghorn High School in 1940, then attended National Business Training School in Sioux City. That was followed by employments in New York City and Sioux City. On January 27, 1946, she married Lyle McIntosh in Claghorn. Bernice reported for the Cherokee newspapers for 30 years and was a correspondent and columnist for the Marcus News since 1974. Bernice was active in multiple community organizations. She was a member of the First Presbyterian Church in Claghorn, where she served as the church organist for 63 years. Bernice held several offices in the Claghorn unit of the American Legion Auxiliary, including serving as treasurer since 1984. She was the chairman of the Auxiliary History Book Committee, which created the 1990 Claghorn Centennial Book. She received community service awards from the City of Claghorn and the DAR. From Harrisburg, South Dakota, formerly of Sioux City, Sandra K. Boelhauer, spelled B-O-E-L-H-O-W-E-R. Sandra Sandy K. Boelhauer, 67, of Harrisburg, formerly of Sioux City, passed away Friday, October 23, 2020, at a Sioux Falls hospital with her kids by her side. A celebration of life will take place at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Heritage Funeral Home in Sioux Falls. Sandy was born on August 22, 1953, in Sioux City, to Lolly and Luella Preston Harmon. Sandy married George Williams III in 1971, and two daughters, Sean and Heather. In 1977, she remarried with Conrad Boelhauer and had a son, Chad. After living in a few cities, the family settled down in Harrisburg, where they built a home. Sandy stayed busy as a second mom to many rambunctious neighborhood boys, helping to keep trouble to the minimum. Sandy was a manager at Spencer Gifts for more than 10 years. While there, she developed a love for purchasing a lot of Halloween decorations. She took great pride in having the scariest home in town several years in a row. When she wasn't scaring people or playing pranks on them, she spent her time reading, doing puzzles, and watching westerns. She enjoyed spending time with family and friends. From Remsen, Iowa, Viola M. Gengler. Viola Madge Gengler, age 94, of Remsen, passed away Friday, October 23, 2020, in Floyd Valley Hospital in Lamars, Iowa, surrounded by her family. Services will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday in St. Mary's Catholic Church in Remsen, with the Reverend William McCarthy officiating. Masks will be required, and social distancing restrictions will be followed at the church. Burial will be in St. Mary's Cemetery. Visitation with the family will be 5 to 7 p.m. today at Fish Funeral Home and Monument in Remsen. Visitation will resume 1 hour prior to the service Thursday at the funeral home. She was born on August 11, 1926 in Mobile, Iowa, the daughter of Kenneth and Clara Strachine Baker. She was raised and educated in Pearson, Iowa, until the sixth grade, and then moved to Remsen and graduated in 1944 from Remsen Union. On February 7, 1949, she married Joe Gengler at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Remsen. The couple farmed south of Remsen until moving into town in August 1984. Joe passed away in 2013. She was blessed to remain independently in her home. She was a member of St. Mary's Parish and Guild. She had a talent for cooking and baking. She will be remembered for her great desserts. She enjoyed getting out on Sunday mornings for breakfast with the family, not so much for the food, but for the pull tabs and family time. She looked forward to people stopping by the house and visiting with her. One of her greatest gifts was her memory. Even at 94 years old, she was still as sharp as ever. She looked forward to family gatherings and enjoyed spending time with all of her children and great-grandchildren and grandchildren who will miss her dearly. From Sioux City, Catherine M. Husser. Catherine May Husser, age 91, of Sioux City, passed away Friday, October 23, 2020, at a local hospital. Services will be Thursday at Mater Dei Parish Immaculate Conception Catholic Church, with a Reverend Daniel Rupp as celebrant. Burial will be in Memorial Park Cemetery. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. today, with a vigil service at 6 p.m. at the church. Arrangements are under the direction of Meyer Brothers Morningside Chapel. Catherine was born January 9, 1929 in Sioux City to Francis and Dorcas Brooks Fredrickson. She graduated from East High School in 1946. On June 19, 1948, she was united in marriage to Arthur Husser at Immaculate Conception Church in Sioux City. They shared 72 years of marriage. Catherine lived in Sioux City her entire life. She was a member of Immaculate Conception Catholic Church, was in the choir for 40 years with her friends, and was in the prayer line. She was also a member of the Red Hat Society and Sons of Norway. She enjoyed drawing, painting, rose mailing, and decorating miniatures made by art. She especially enjoyed helping to raise her special granddaughter, Taya. From Sioux City, formerly of Anawa, Iowa, Charles Pete Hoffman. Charles William Pete Hoffman, age 72, of Sioux City, a former longtime resident of Anawa, passed away peacefully at home surrounded by his family on Thursday, October 22, 2020. Services will be held at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Rush Family Care Service in Anawa. Pete was born on March 30, 1948, to Clarence William and Dorothy Margaret Goodman Hoffman. Pete loved living in the country and eventually developed a love for farming. He graduated from West Monona High School in 1966. On July 11, 1966, he married Patricia Hinson. On October 24th of that year, they welcomed their oldest daughter, Lisa Kay. On August 29, 1971, they welcomed second daughter Christina. After the 1980s farm crisis, Pete gave up farming and started working part-time at the Farm Service Agency in 1983, and eventually went full-time in 1988. He ended up spending 31 years at the Farm Service Agency, finally retiring in 2014. Pete loved spending time with his family, his kitties Bob and Suter, Sunday family dinners, and tinkering around in his garage. From Dakota City, Charlotte J. Donhoffer. Charlotte J. Donhoffer, age 84, of Dakota City, passed away Friday, October 23, 2020, at a local hospital. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at Moore and Becker Hunt Funeral Home. Private family burial will be in Dakota City Cemetery. Charlotte was born on July 7, 1936, in Dakota City, to Don and Iva Mae Hoffman Ross. She graduated from high school and went on to attend Wayne State College, where she received a teaching degree. She was united in marriage to Robert Donhoffer on November 24, 1957. He preceded her in death. In 1985, Charlotte worked as a secretary for the Dakota County Treasurer for 25 years. She was very involved in the American Legion and VFW. She was also a volunteer at the Sioux City Police Department. She enjoyed reading, cooking, and spending time with her grandchildren. Charlotte was also an active member of the Dakota City United Methodist Church. From Ida Grove, Iowa, Dolores Ann Stewart, age 91, died Saturday, October 24, 2020. Service October 29, 2:30 p.m., St. Paul Lutheran Church, Ida Grove. Burial, Ida Grove Cemetery. Visitation, October 29, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the church. Christensen Van Houten Funeral Home, Ida Grove. From Battle Creek, Iowa, Eugene Jean Triplett, age 76, died Sunday, October 25, 2020. Memorial Service, October 31, 11 a.m., First Presbyterian Church, Battle Creek. Burial, Mount Hope Cemetery. Visitation, October 31, 10 a.m. at the church. Christensen Van Houten Funeral Home, Battle Creek. From Sioux City, Ruth C. Halpert. Ruth Krista Halpert, 80, of Sioux City, passed away Saturday, October 24, 2020, at her residence, surrounded by her loving husband. Per her wishes, the body has been cremated. No services are to be held at this time. Arrangements are under the direction of Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel. Ruth was born on December 23, 1939, in Vorwitz, Germany, the daughter of Ernst and Irma John Heyman. She moved to the United States in 1964. Ruth married Gerald Halpert on June 10, 1994, in Vail, Colorado. Ruth owned and operated R&Z Dental Lab for 40-plus years before retirement. She loved her work, and after retirement, she enjoyed her time with Jerry at the lake house. They loved to fish, always bringing along Midnight, their beloved dog. From McCook Lake, South Dakota, David K. Gorsett. David K. Gorsett, age 75, of McCook Lake, passed away Saturday, October 24th, at a local hospital. Memorial services will be 11 a.m. Friday at Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel, with the Reverend Robin Roger Madden will officiate. Burial will be in Calvary Cemetery. Visitation will begin 9 a.m. until service time Friday at the funeral home. David was born December 3, 1944, in Sioux City, to Olin and Phyllis Stafford Gorsett. He graduated from Central High School in 1963. After high school, he went on to serve in the U.S. Navy as a boilerman from 1964 to 1967, during which time he served in Vietnam. After he returned to Sioux City, David married Peggy Watkins on June 28, 1969. The couple was married for 51 years. He worked at Prince Manufacturing Company for 34 years in their shipping department until his retirement. In his free time, David was an avid golfer and was a member of many leagues around the Sioux City area. He loved to travel to the Black Hills and often enjoyed a round of golf during his trips. He was a selfless man who would help others whenever they needed it without question. From Sioux City, Norbert J. Bravo, age 83, of Sioux City, passed away Monday, October 26, 2020, at a local hospital. Services will be 10:30 a.m. Friday at Meyer Brothers Morningside Chapel. Burial will be in Logan Park Cemetery. Visitation with the family will be 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Norbert was born on May 7, 1937, in the province of Villa Clara, Cuba, later moving to Havana, the son of Jose Manuel and Julia Rodriguez Bravo. Norbert moved to the United States in 1962. He married Diane Marie Kasprick on May 21, 1963, in Sioux City. To this union, two children were born. Norbert was a chef and restaurant owner, owning Norby's Family Dining for 10 years and then the Legend Restaurant for 10 years before retirement. He enjoyed cooking, grilling, gardening, planting trees, and enjoying country music. He also enjoyed feeding the birds and loved his little lap dog, Honey. Norbert was a people person and enjoyed sharing life stories. He would strike up conversations with people he knew and people he just met. From Mobile, Iowa, Marvin E. Fluelling. Marvin Earl Fluelling of Mobile passed away Saturday, October 24, 2020, at his home, surrounded by his family. A celebration of life will be 5:30 p.m. Monday at Mobile United Methodist Church. Burial will be in Arlington Township Cemetery at a later date. Food and fellowship will be immediately following at the Crankshift Bar and Grill on Mobile's Main Street. Masks will be required at the church. Arrangements are under the direction of Waterbury Funeral Service of Sioux City. Marvin was born on June 27, 1949, in Sioux City, the son of Thomas and Lily Johnston Fluelling. He grew up in the Mobile area, graduating from Woodbury Central High School in 1968. Marvin was drafted into the U.S. Army in early 1970 and was honorably discharged in late 1971. He married the love of his life, Donna Cross, on July 30, 1977. Together they made their home in the Mobile area. Over the years, Marv worked with heavy equipment in the family business, Fluelling sand and gravel, and Fluelling earth moving. During winter months, he enjoyed working for the Woodbury County Secondary Roads Department, operating a mountaineer clearing snow. He was a member of the Mobile United Methodist Church and the American Legion Post 140 in Kingsley, Iowa. Marv enjoyed fishing and camping and was a car enthusiast. He loved driving anywhere for a road trip and hunting the road ditches for asparagus. He waved and honked at everyone during his travels. From Remsen, Iowa, formerly from Anthon, Iowa, Carolyn F. Meyer, age 78, of Remsen, formerly of Anthon, passed away Saturday, October 24, 2020, at the Happy Siesta Healthcare Center in Remsen. Services will be at 10:30 a.m. Friday at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Anthon. Monsignor Mike Duchesne will officiate. Burial will be in St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery in Otto, Iowa. Visitation will be held 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, with a rosary service at 6:30 p.m. and a vigil service at 7 p.m. at the church. Arrangements are under the direction of Armstrong Van Houten Funeral Home in Anthon. Carolyn F. Meyer was born September 9, 1942, to Clement and Eva McKenna in Otto. She grew up there, attended school in Otto, graduating in 1961 from Anthon Otto High School. On April 22, 1961, she was united in marriage to Francis P. Meyer at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Otto. They lived in Otto until 1971, then moved to the Meyer Farm, southeast of Anthon. From Ouachita, Iowa, Marcia Marty Warrender, age 78, died Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. Service, October 31st, 10:30 p.m. 10:30 a.m., Boothby Funeral Home, Cherokee, Iowa. Burial, Sunset View Cemetery, Ouachita. Visitation, October 30th, 3 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. From Ida Grove, Iowa, Gary A. Harter, age 82, died Sunday, October 25th, 2020. Celebration of life, July 24th, 2021, at the Ida Grove Golf and Country Club, Christensen Van Houten Funeral Home in Ida Grove. Well, everybody, that does it for today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for today, Wednesday, October 28, 2020. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B., filling in for Ike. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening.